and welcome to this edition of Centenary Management Radio. I'm Barbara Luthwaite, along with my co-host, WNTI Director John Delray. For the next 10 or 15 minutes, join us as we discuss different principles of management with members of the Centenary University Management class. We are joining you today via remote learning for this episode.
And joining us today are Sanjay, Joseph, Liam, Ivan, and Max, and their subject today will be the gig economy.
Okay, so the gig economy has grown quite a bit in the last several years. In fact, 10 years ago, we weren't even talking about the gig economy. So I'm wondering, Sanjay, how does the nature of the gig economy affect the lives of immigrant workers in the United States?
Yeah, so a lot of the newer information we find about the gig economy will try to paint it to be a new disruptive force in the U.S. work field. But the reality is that it's a cycle that has been a part of the world's economy for generations and has been carried on the backs of immigrants. A lot of immigrants come to this country oftentimes to escape persecution or in hopes of finding better opportunities for themselves and their families. And the nature of the gig economy preys on this vulnerability and desperation. A lot of workers in the gig economy operate without the backing of unions, but immigrants oftentimes find themselves in jobs where they're paid with discretion and are not afforded the same protections and rights that are given to American citizens in the workplace. Unauthorized immigrant workers make up roughly 5% of the US labor force, and under current law, employers have free will to mistreat them because they can clear themselves of any responsibility to care for them, which is why we've seen so much support for bills like the Immigrant Worker Protection Act that help to ensure that immigrants are treated fairly.
That's very insightful. You did a lot of good research there. Thank you, Sanjay. So, Joseph, what are some of the problems within the gig economy when it comes to taxes? And do you have any possible solutions for us?
The problem within the gig economy with taxes is that some of the people within the gig economy, like the ones that work for Uber, DoorDash, and things of those natures, aren't really per se business owners, but they have to record their taxes like they are business owners. So the problem is they don't know how to do those things, and it becomes difficult when it becomes tax seasons, and it leaves the government not receiving money from them because they don't know how to file those. So a few solutions could be the companies like Uber can get permissions from Congress that can allow them to withhold the taxes from the workers before they actually pay them up front with their paycheck. So it would make everything way smoother and it wouldn't cause all this chaos when it actually comes to the season where these business owners have to actually pay the taxes, but they don't know how.
Lots of logistical things involved there, huh? So that's an interesting possible solution. So Liam, how has the gig economy affected our overall economy? Is it positive or negative?
Well, because of the coronavirus, the gig economy hasn't really, it has impacted it very roughly, like not because of Lyft and Uber and other individual employee job opportunities. It has not really allowed people to get out there because of the coronavirus. People are more afraid of getting sick than going out and making more money individually instead of working in a bigger co-company, as explained. Like I said, because of the coronavirus, it has affected them very badly, not allowing them to get outside, get enough work in, and that's basically it.
Yeah, I guess that's true for many jobs, right? But maybe something like DoorDash or Grubhub, they might have done better.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, thank you, Liam. So, Ivan, should gig workers get the same benefits as full-time workers?
Personally, I don't believe they should get the same benefits only because they're temporary workers and they're independent. So most of the time, they only pick because there isn't a better situation available to them.
Okay. So, Matt, do you think that gig workers are more productive than other workers?
Gig workers tend to work harder in order to ensure that they succeed in their certain job that they're currently working at the time. They're aware that the job is not permanent, it's just temporary, so they want to leave their mark on what they do. Their work ethic would tend to increase as they would want to achieve as much as they possibly can in the time period that they're working with that certain business.
Okay. I can see that your team must have had some very interesting discussions about this subject because, as any group of people would expect, you have different points of view on this issue, and that makes for a very productive discussion. So, Sanjay, back to you. What are some of the psychological and emotional struggles that workers in the gig economy face?
Yeah, it's really interesting because being an independent worker in the gig economy is coveted because a lot of the time that means working for yourself and making your own schedule. But there are struggles that come along with that freedom. Independent workers struggle to reconcile their desires for freedom in their work and the seemingly innate need we all have to feel connected to something larger than ourselves. In the absence of an organizational membership, independent workers in the gig economy tend to form connections with routines, places, people, and a broader purpose. This increases productivity and overall positive attitudes towards their work. As much as we are told to leave our emotions at home and act professionally, this plays into analyzing the psychodynamics of independent work and the emotional underpinnings of work identity, which is how we view who we are relative to what we do.
Okay, so like anything else, right, there are pros and cons. So thank you for that thoughtful answer. So Joseph, why is becoming an independent worker being more and more popular?
The reason for this trend is because the independent workforce really likes the flexibility of having their own hours and being their own boss. So it doesn't cause for any stress on them and they know everything that goes on within the business and everything around it. It's actually projected that in the next 5 years that there is a 2.8% annual growth rate for independent workforce, and that equals to 47.2 million people joining the independent workforce over the years, which just shows you how popular the trend is to become an independent worker and have that flexibility throughout your life.
Again, a very insightful answer there. Do you think that many people, something from the gig economy is sort of their side hustle?
I would say that because I think most of the people within the gig economy are people who work for companies like DoorDash, Uber, and like those types of companies just to make some extra cash on the side so they don't have to worry as much about like how to pay their bills and things of that matter.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. So Liam, how has the gig economy during the COVID-19 pandemic dealt with change when it comes to individual partnerships?
So like as the gig economy, it's like, it's basically a part-time temporary position and like independent contractors. The result of the gig economy has actually increased because of driving for like Lyft, Uber, as my other fellow classmates has said, it has allowed many people to make more side money instead of working in like big companies where people are working online or at home, only getting paychecks here and there. Like people working in the gig economy, as I said, working on Uber, Airbnb, they're able to get money sooner than later, in a sense that the COVID-19 pandemic has actually increased the amount of money they can make, actually positively impacting them in a very good way.
Okay. So before you were talking about the negative impact, so you're really covering both sides of the issue, right?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. So Ivan, do you think there's a danger in taking on more gig workers at the expense of full-time workers?
Yes, I think there is a danger in taking on more gig workers at the expense of full-time workers because as companies replace employees with gig workers, they widen the holes in the social safety net and accelerate the day when new one-size-fits-all rules are imposed.
So do you think that there are many employers out there that are trying to get by with more gig workers and less full-time so they don't have to pay benefits?
Probably.
Okay. So, Matt, back to you. What do you think generally about the work ethic that folks in the gig economy might have?
Honestly, like you said before, like you said, there's pros and cons. It depends on the worker. I mean, in my opinion, I believe that if you are working for something on your own and you're an independent worker, I feel like you would want to put the work in and make sure that you're working hard and making sure you're getting everything done properly. Like, especially for like simple things, even like DoorDash, I feel like you're going to want to take as many orders as you possibly can rather than like take your time and not work as hard as you possibly can.
Okay. So if you were an employer, would you have an interest in hiring gig workers?
Again, it would also depend. It depends on the worker itself and it depends on the company. For major companies, obviously they don't tend to hire gig workers, but a lot of companies are looking more towards hiring these gig workers. The loyalty and commitment to the company obviously will not be there with the gig workers. So that's a pro for the normal full-time workers. But the gig workers also tend to work harder, in my opinion. And I believe that they should take more steps towards hiring these gig workers for certain companies. It also depends, but it all depends on how the company views everything and how the company values its workers.
Thank you. So throwing this out to the panel here, where do you think the title gig workers came from? Anybody have a guess about that?
Well, in my research, I found that the term gig economy came from the jazz era. When it started originally, it was for short-term employment for jazz musicians to play in their clubs, and they would call these weekly or, you know, daily gig work employments where they'd come in and sing. They were referred to as gigs.
I'm glad that you discovered that. That's a really interesting piece of history. And after the jazz musicians, when we said gig worker, you know, we were usually talking about a musician, you know, or some kind of performer who had a gig. So that kind of got brought over into these part-time independent jobs. So when we say gig economy, what are the possibilities? What are the jobs that come to mind for you immediately? Again, throwing it out to the panel.
The jobs I think of are the jobs that you can sign up for, like Uber, Lyft, DoorDash, Uber Eats, and you can just quickly get on, go through, and make quick money instead of having to go through an interview process and things of that matter. But also jobs that you can just like stop tomorrow and it won't affect anything really, because it's just a quick short-term job that you just want to make money from.
Yeah, that's an interesting distinction. It's not like you give 2 weeks notice, right? If you were leaving a full-time employment situation. Anybody else can think of something in the gig economy besides Uber or Lyft? I mean, those are very good examples and the ones we tend to think of right away. Anybody else can think of one?
I know like a big subset in the gig economy is actors. They go out there, they audition, and oftentimes they're employed just for that one role, and that's what their contract covers. They're not involved in long-term employment.
Okay, and we see that in the Centenary Stage Company here. So that's a very good example. So thank you. So it looks like we're out of time for this episode. I'd like to thank my co-host, John Del Rey, and all the members of the panel for a great discussion. Tune in next time for another exciting episode of Centenary Management Radio. This has been a production of WNTI, The Sound of Centenary. Have a great day, everyone.